It's said that happiness is a choice. Some believe that. Some are not too quick to grab onto that sentiment. But what about happiness in the workplace? This is Lisa Berry, and later this week, the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan is hosting a positive business conference. It's a two-day event focusing on positive business practices which improve the workplace, engage employees, and, of course, impact the bottom line. Joining me now in the 89.1 WEMU studios is one of the speakers at the event, Jen Lim. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So how did you get involved with this?
So essentially, I was a consultant at Zappos.com for many years, over 10 years now, I think. And so I got to work with Tony, the CEO of Zappos, on many projects along the way, including stuff about their culture and their culture book. And essentially, when he was approached by publishers to see if he wanted to write a book on his experiences, he asked if I want to be a part of that project. And I said, sure. And so basically, just thought it was going to be another project that I'll check off the list of things to do. And lo and behold, after the book was launched, there was a demand for happiness in the world. It sounds funny to say, but we were eventually translated in 20 languages. And so we sensed that there was a demand and need for something greater than just a book, which is why we decided to evolve it to its own company. So essentially, our main purpose is to help other workplaces essentially figure out how to create a sustainable culture using happiness frameworks of science of happiness and positive psychology.
Okay, when you say Zappos, I think shoes, and that makes me happy, but I think it's a little more than... What is the concept?
So essentially, there's this whole idea of happiness as an individual. And what we realized through the science of it and more data that is coming out as to what really leads to the key word being sustainable happiness. And we're not talking about rainbows and unicorns. We're talking about what is it that fundamentally increases our happiness in a long-term way. And through those studies, they realized that there's different levers that increase happiness. And some of them are the sense of control, sense of progress, connectedness with, relationships around you, and ultimately a sense of higher purpose. What are you doing that's greater than just yourself? And what we realized over time at Zappos was that that paradigm or framework actually directly parallels to that of a workplace. So that in the end, we know as humans that we have our pleasures in life. And for a business, we know we need our profits. But given that with all this research, unless you layer the passion and purpose on top of it, the odds of sustaining your success as a business and your longevity of happiness as an individual are that much more against you. So essentially, we've developed concepts and tools and now workshops and consulting around that idea to be able to make it tangible and practical in ways that companies can use this simple equation of if you can create a workplace of happier employees, you'll have happier customers and in the end, a more successful and profitable business. And so that's what we basically help companies. And now, as I mentioned earlier, government, one of our clients is actually the government of Dubai, try to get to that point of sustainable happiness.
So that's what you'll be sharing with attendees at the Ross School of Business this week in Ann Arbor?
Exactly. Yeah, just to take this sort of, can be a fluffy topic of happiness into something concrete for individuals and for namely, workplaces, as I'll be talking about, and how to actually accomplish that in a real and sustainable way.
So you just sort of referred to happiness as fluffy. And I think some people are hesitant to be happy or think they don't deserve to be happy. Do you find it that difficult to introduce and familiarize people with the topic of happiness?
That's an interesting question because I think the way that we approach and define happiness is, because at the end of the day, we all know that happiness can be subjective in how we define it, but what we come across in saying this is based on the science of it. And so knowing that there's data backing this up about ultimately having a higher purpose to increase your happiness, and what we say is, number one, are you being true to your authentic self? We call it your weird self. Mm-hmm. Number two, are you living out your acts of flow and engagement in your everyday life? And number three, do you feel like you're living according to your values and your sense of passion and purpose on a day-to-day basis? And so once we put it and break it down in those terms, I think people resonate with it more because there's at least, you know, some sort of concrete framework to actually think about what happiness could mean and potentially should mean if you want to sustain it in our lives.
Do you think everyone has the potential to be happy?
Oh, for sure. Going back to the science, a percentage of what we perceive our happiness to be is really based on our own perception and interpretation of it. So there are different set points, I would say, as to what we are born with, our DNA of our happiness levels, but that set point can always be changed, dialed up or dialed down, according to our decisions and how we, you know, make our, what our outlook is on different situations.
So you'll be sharing this perspective and information at the Positive Business Conference at the Ross School of Business at U of M this week. Do you think people are going to embrace it? Do you get good reaction when you share this message?
Yeah, it's been interesting. If you asked me that same question 5 years ago, if there would be a company out of the book and that we'd be traveling around the world talking about this subject and helping other companies figure it out, I would probably would have laughed and said, no way. But I felt that at that point, there was a tipping point by the way the book was received and by the way that we're not the only, you know, quote-unquote happiness players out there. There's other people perceiving it and communicating it as, you know, well-being or however you want to call it. But there's definitely some sort of movement of this whole idea of how, you know, this is the time that there's no real excuse anymore not to embrace this idea of, yes, if we are here to be happy and make sure the people that we love are happy too, then why not start doing that now?
Do you think companies get it, that if their employees are happy, they'll work better and that improves the bottom line? Is that a difficult message to get the companies, the executives to understand and embrace?
You know, I think maybe about 5-7 years ago, yes. But because the message is basically coming back down to real ROI and metrics of, at the end of the day, if you can create a happier workplace, then you'll increase engagement, you'll increase productivity, you'll increase your retention, and ultimately it'll serve your bottom line. So when putting it in that equation of more traditional terms, then there's really no, the most hardline CFO can't say nay anymore just because all the metrics and the research to this point have shown that those are all positive indicators towards a better business.
All right. Sounds great to me. Jen Lim, CEO and Chief Happiness Officer at Delivering Happiness, will be in Ann Arbor this week at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan, which is hosting a Positive Business Conference. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.